Blog Talk Radio.
They're getting wild for me, and all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this style for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. World debut, I know they gon' fiend. Everything Mississippi to the Palm Springs. Girls from brunettes down to blonde.
Well, welcome back, my little. How are you guys doing this evening? I hope everybody had a perfect, wonderful Wednesday. We are back with another week of everything football. I mean, does it get any better than this? Because I really don't think it gets any better than this. But I want to start off, of course, by saying thank you to all of my listeners tuning in right now. Each and every week, your support means everything to me. We're coming at you live here every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific, of course, 11 p.m. Eastern for all my Eastern listeners over there. And, of course, I'm your host and your main squeeze, Mimi. You guys know me. I'm your girl for the night. So I will be here with you guys throughout the football season with everything juicy that goes on in the NFL. So where are we going to start today, my little cookie? I'm so excited. We're going to start, of course, in the NFC. I mean, there's no way we couldn't start in the NFC, right, you guys? I mean, the biggest news right now with Odell Beckham going down in their game versus Cleveland with an ankle injury. So at this point, you guys, looks like his injury could potentially keep him out of the season opener. That might be a problem because the Giants don't need any games starting off, because even though they're a second half of the season team, even though they're a playoff team, they still need to win as many games as they can because they don't need to end up at a wild card. They do need to win their division, and they do need to maybe possibly have a first round bye in the championship. So that is if they get that far. So Odell Beckham, he's got an ankle injury. The Giants open up their season September 10th against the Dallas Cowboys, of course. I mean, this is definitely going to be a huge challenge for them. Granted, it is in Dallas, so Dallas does have a little bit of an edge there. But over the past couple seasons, the Giants have beat the Cowboys, so this is going to be interesting to see. The Giants lose their number one wide receiver, and one of the biggest rivalries in the NFL, of course, between the Cowboys and the Giants. And what does this mean for both teams? Well, the Giants are possibly going to take a loss here, but the Cowboys don't have Zeke. So can they win without Zeke? This is what is going to tell. Because although the Giants don't have their number one wide receiver, they do have other valuable options on offense. Now, the Cowboys do not have Zeke. However, they also do have valuable options at running back in the veterans, Morris, and which I'm not sure if Morris, I think McFadden, it might be the other one. Anyway, but both of them are good options for the Cowboys who can probably get the job done. Let's see if the Cowboys can survive week one without Zeke, because regardless of what happens during the appeals on August 29th, regardless, he's going to miss at least one game, maybe two, maybe three. So we're hoping it's not six. Maybe we see week four. We don't know, but that's what we're hoping for. So at this point, I kind of feel like this makes the playing field pretty even, because they both are losing a number one offensive player, somebody who can score touchdowns. But, I mean, there's nobody in the open field like Zeke. I mean, there's just nobody like him. So we're going to see how this changes the Cowboys' offense and what they're going to do. The only huge advantage that they do have, like I said, is that they are at home. It is a season opener. The crowd's going to be crazy. And I really feel like the Giants are going to take a loss on this one. But don't take that to the bank, but because of history only, because of history only. But I do think the Giants are going to take a loss here. I think the Cowboys are going to win. And that's pretty much how I'm going to call this game. Beckham, the game on Monday looks like was some type of ankle injury. They took some x-rays. They came back negative. MRI that he got, sources say that he has a sprained ankle, which obviously, you know, if you're an athlete, a sprained ankle is annoying. It's an annoying injury that lingers and lingers and lingers and never really heals. So I think that the Giants should take it easy on their star because it's more important that he heals and he's able to stay healthy throughout the season and make it to the postseason than to have him rush back trying to win a couple games in the beginning of the season and then be, you know, injured even more, and then you don't have him, which is what most teams, you know, do because, you know, they don't care. They want to win every game. So I definitely think the Giants should take it easy on Odell, let him heal properly. You know, the first couple games are going to be touch and go. I know he wants to be out there. I know he wants to play, but they don't need to rush him back. An ankle can be, you know, a thorn throughout the season. So he needs to heal properly. He needs to get himself back to 100% because that's the only way the G-men are going to make it this season. They need all of their top guys at 100%. So I'm going to be sticking with the G-men and this news all throughout the season. We'll see how healthy their players stay. But for now, Odell is out for the first game for sure. Maybe the second game, we're not exactly sure yet. But I have a feeling that if the Giants lose to the Cowboys game one, September 10th, Odell will be back week two, whether it's a good idea or not. Now, sticking with the Giants, I mean, I don't really want to, but, you know, we have to touch on this. I mean, I don't know what the heck is going on with all this domestic violence. I mean, when are you guys going to learn that you guys are public figures and targets? I mean, do they really think that they won't get caught or that someone is not going to snitch them? This is like a cruel world. How do you not understand that? So looks like now Michael, I'm sure you guys don't know who he is, on the Giants, he's going to be sitting this one out. They waived him actually this morning. Granted, he was a long shot to make the 53-man roster, but this doesn't help his chances. I mean, a domestic violence case, this is terrible. Like I said, Giants waived him, putting the results of the investigation, but there's allegations, and so allegations taint you, and it just looks bad. But it doesn't look good for him in any case at this point. We don't have an answer. The fact that they waived him, it doesn't look good. It's not even like they kept him on to see what happened. They waived him and then said, we'll see what happens. So I'm not exactly sure if this is going to be a positive thing for the Giants. Well, not necessarily for the Giants, but for Michael. So we'll see what happens. But I've got to say this, you guys. These players really have to get it together. I mean, the league and the coaches need to work together and maybe implement some type of anger management resources for these troubled players. I mean, this domestic violence saga in the NFL has got, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's just a bad example for young viewers and taints the integrity of the league. I mean, the NFL should not be branded League of Criminals. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Somebody needs to help these boys. I mean, somebody needs to take a step ahead. Somebody needs to make something happen in this league because all of these allegations of dealing with domestic violence, I mean, I know there's other issues in the league. I know there's, you know, things going on with drugs and things going on with alcohol and things, but domestic violence is a whole different animal. And I really think that they need to take this serious because it's coming out more and more and more. And I'm just wondering if things were covered up in the past and it was always like this or if this is actually a new epidemic and it needs to be addressed. I mean, somebody really needs to help these players because, to me, all it is screaming for help. These players are screaming for help because why would you jeopardize your entire being? Why would you jeopardize everything you've worked so hard for since you was a child on a criminal act that benefits nobody? I'm just at a loss of words right now, you guys. I'm just at a loss of words. Because every time I turn around, I swear, I feel like it's another domestic violence case, another player getting cut. And, you know, it just looks bad for the league. So, you know, I really think they need to take some steps to make something happen, help guys out, maybe, you know, put together some seminars for them, maybe some therapy classes. I don't know. I don't know what you could do to fix this problem, but somebody needs to fix it. And, you know, I'm not going to dwell too hard on this subject. That's all I got to say about that. But, you know, these boys, they've got to learn, and apparently they need some help. So hopefully somebody's out there trying to help them. But on a better note, let's transfer over. Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it a better note, but a more pleasant subject. Good old Le'Veon Bell. Let's just have a little conversation about this guy who is doing the most with his own personal lockout. He then locked himself out of the Steelers camp. I mean, these players never cease to amaze me, but when you're an elite player, you can do some of these things without these penalties. Definitely some favoritism, because he is, you know, if he was a scrub or if he was whack and he was doing this, I'm sure he would have got cut. I mean, I'm almost 100% positive he would have got cut. But he's too valuable. I don't care if he didn't practice all the way up to game one. He would still be the starting running back for my squad, and he will still be the starting running back for Pittsburgh. So go get your money, Bell. I am not mad at you. You know, Bell sat out the entire Steelers camp, and pretty much he's going to sit out the rest of preseason unhappy with his current contract. You know, they gave him the franchise tag. Clearly that's not what he wanted. It doesn't give him enough security, which is, you know, what the league is saying, or, well, at least the coaches are saying, that he wants a little bit more security should something happen this season. But regardless, fantasy players shouldn't be concerned, because we just said he has it. He'll be back September 1st to sign his $12.1 million franchise tag. Did you hear me, guys? $12.1 million franchise tag. That's not good enough, which I get. He wants a long-term contract, and he deserves a long-term contract. So I'm not mad at him. I feel like his reasonings have some merit to them. So the tables, these players have to go through. I mean, I wish I was mad about a $12.1 million franchise tag. I mean, I wish that those were the problems that I was worried about. I mean, I wish someone would franchise me. I mean, maybe that's still possible. I mean, I would show up every day on time. They wouldn't even have to worry about me. But I say that now. Watch when I get some money and I start acting like them. I think that's how it happens. You start getting money and then you start feeling underappreciated. But I'm not mad at Bell. I think he deserves what he's looking for. He's always been a beast, and he's still, you know, his skill level has not diminished in the slightest bit. So expecting to go ham this season to prove that he is as good as we know that he is, and he is as good as the money that he's asking for. And Pittsburgh, pay the man. Like, pay him. He deserves it. I don't get it. You know, I know that it's more than just pay him. I know they probably have to move things around to give him the money that he's asking for, but he deserves it. So I'm going to move on real quick from Pittsburgh, and we're going to talk about the controversy at the quarterback, which shouldn't even be a controversy in Cleveland. The Browns have chosen to start their young best rookie instead of Brock. Thank you, Jesus. It is a miracle. I mean, duh, why would you, who wants to start Brock? I mean, no one in their right mind wants Osweiler behind center. Nobody. I mean, it's probably the smartest move they've made besides drafting, you know, the rookie quarterback. I mean, word is they plan to keep Brock out unless Kaiser struggles, but, I mean, how much worse than Brock can he be? I mean, rumors have been swirling around that they want to keep options open for possibly trading Brock, so they don't want him to play so he, you know, he can stay healthy, because obviously an injured Brock definitely ain't going nowhere. I mean, he can't even go anywhere when he's healthy. So if he gets injured, he's really not going anywhere. But that would be the best move ever, would be to try to get him traded sometime before the trade block ends. I mean, get him out of there, literally. Get him out. I know if you're in the NFL, you know, you have to be talented. Of course, you're among the talented, but in a league of nothing but talent, he sucks. He's terrible. In a world of the elite and the elite, he's just plain terrible. I mean, they probably won't even be able to trade him, to be honest. I mean, I don't even know why they got that $16 million contract. Who wants to give Brock $16 million? Please somebody tell me. I mean, because nobody. I mean, Le'Veon Bell don't even got $16 million. I mean, come on. So at this point, no one wants him. They're going to have a hard time getting rid of him. I mean, he's going to be the backup to the backup to the backup. Can you have a four-string backup? He probably can't have a four-string backup, but that's who he would be. He would be the four-string backup. Okay, let me stop crushing this boy's image, but, like, listen, he's terrible. But I really think that he's not the answer for the Browns. He's a game manager at the lowest rank. And he has a decent arm, but he's inconsistent. And, you know, he's not valuable in any sense of the word. Houston, I know they have to be happy that they got rid of this guy because, I mean, who wants this guy on their roster? I really can't see anybody wanting Brock. They probably can't even give this guy away for free. I mean, they probably can't even just say, here, take him. They might have to waive him. I mean, that's the only really option that they have. I mean, the only luck the Browns are really going to have is if someone loses a starting quarterback early and their backup is either a non-impressive the rookie, or, well, that's probably the only option. They have to have a non-impressive rookie because anybody's backup right now is probably better than Brock. I'm just, you know, I really don't like him. Y'all know. Y'all heard me last year. I went in on this kid. I don't think he's worth any of the money that he's been offered. I think he's lower than mediocre, and I just think that he had big hype because he was on a good team that was already winning, who were already in their stride, and everybody else made him look like he was an elite player, which he was not. At this point, the Browns may just end up releasing him, like I said, and salvage whatever they can. But, you know, the Browns haven't had a quarterback play a full season since 2001. Since 2001, they have not had a quarterback play a full season. Do you know what that's like? I mean, that's crazy. So maybe the best option is to leave him just in case they end up without a quarterback because history proves that none of their quarterbacks stay healthy due to injuries. But he would definitely be my third-string option, fourth-string option, or maybe not even an option. These are just the facts, people. These are just the facts. I can't state anything but the facts here. He sucks. Okay, so moving on from Brock, okay, we're going to talk a little bit here about a future Hall of Famer who retired, Anquan Boldin. We want to talk a little bit about him and his spectacular 14 seasons in the NFL. We just got to give him a little shout-out because he's out this year. He was definitely a shock around the league because clearly he still had plenty of gas in the tank. I mean, although sad to see him go, you guys, his reasonings are brave and commendable. I'm proud of him. He said that his decision was influenced by the violence in Charlotte, and he believes that he has bigger goals to achieve in this world. He's not happy with how our country is divided, and he wants to make a difference in our country. And he believes that, you know, his purpose is bigger than just the events on Thursday and Sundays. So Boldin retires after being drafted second round to the Cardinals in 2003. He was alongside Fitz for six seasons with the Cards, and they were, like, literally, you guys, I mean, I am a Patriots fan, but like I said, I live in Arizona. Literally one of the most devastating receiving combos in the NFL for real. And after 7 years with the Cards, he spent three with Baltimore. Of course, you guys know that. And then he spent three with San Francisco. An amazing career he's had. I mean, before his final season, 2016, with the Lions, I mean, he's put up the numbers. As he's one of the greatest possession receivers. He ranks 14th all-time in receiving yards at 13,779. I mean, these numbers are crazy, you guys. On 1,076 receptions, 13,000 yards on 1,076 receptions. That's, like, amazing. 82 touchdowns. I mean, since 2008, he's earned 3,500 yards after the catch. distance away, 3,500 yards after the catch, which only Wes Welker and Larry Fitzgerald have more than that in that time span. I mean, these are crazy numbers, you guys. I mean, we want to wish him the best in his journey, and, you know, we hope that he can make the difference in our country that he's looking to make. He has a stage. The people know him. His platform is going to help him out a lot. I hope he's successful in any of the changes that he wants to make. Like I said, you guys, I've lived in Arizona for a good time now, and I just want to thank him for his services, and I wish him nothing but the best. Happiness and success to you, Anquan Boldin, and whatever you choose to do, we're proud of you here over here in the Fire State. So back to football, you guys. You know, we all love this game. I normally don't like to talk too much about this team because, you know, they suck too. And they never get anything new to discuss about them because they always suck. But we do have to just run through this really quick. I'm just dumbfounded as to what exactly Todd Bowles did in the offseason. I mean, he is a great coach, but I don't know what he did in the offseason. Let's just be honest. The lack of talent on offense is just sad. It's not only do they not have a reliable quarterback, even if they did have a reliable quarterback, he has no offense. I mean, nobody can produce on that team. Now, granted, it's not like they were going to win the division or anything like that because I don't even think they could beat a high school team. Yep, I said it, high school, because any college team could probably take on the New York Jets. But side note about college, I'm so excited for college to be back. College football is the best, you guys. So if you're in the NFL, you got to be into college. College is where it all gets started. So just a little side note for you guys. I'm excited that college football is coming back. But back to these sorry Jets, who should actually be nicknamed PZL M15, which if you guys don't know a lot about Jets, that is the thing going nowhere fast. I know that's cheesy, guys, but it's true. Like, I don't know why they're called the Jets, because they ain't going nowhere. I mean, I really need to stop, okay? But let's just see. I mean, the Jets season is going to go. I mean, they're going to be the worst team in the NFL.
I mean, Josh McCown.
Really? That's your quarterback?
That's your quarterback? I mean, he's obviously going to start. He's most likely going to get taken out once the season is a wash.
Hackenberg is going to go in. They need to let him go in. Because they need to see what he's working with. They need to give him a chance. They need to see what he can do on the big stage. And Bryce Petty, well, okay, Bryce Petty, exactly, nobody. Okay, and then if all else fails, I mean, I guess they could throw Petty in. I mean, if both of those two fail, I guess they got Petty as a last resort. But it's not like they have anybody to throw it to. I mean, the sad receiving core that they have,
Robbie Anderson, I think Jalen Marshall. I mean, they'll be lucky to score touchdowns in these 16 games. I mean, I don't even know if they can score touchdowns. I mean, so this season is definitely going to be a wash for the Jets. Let's not even think. I mean, they'll be lucky if they win one game.
They should probably just concentrate on losing every game so they can get the number one pick and start looking at the quarterback draft class for the 2017-2018 season. I mean, because honestly, that's really the only options that they have at this point in being successful for the next year. So with that being said, I'm going to leave the Jets alone. I know I have my New York listeners out there. I don't want to touch on them too bad because I know the big-time rivalry with the Jets and the Giants. But honestly, you guys, the Giants are going nowhere fast. But speaking of the AFC and our division, you know, Cutler, he's not looking too bad out there for Miami. So Miami might be able to salvage their season, which might be good for them. But, I mean, you never know. We'll see what happens because, you know, Cutler, he looks good sometimes. Another, very inconsistent. I mean, we never know what we're going to get from him. But I really felt like Miami was going to be a contender this year. I mean, at least if Tannehill stayed healthy, which obviously we all know that he did not stay healthy. So now they're in a situation where they have to depend on Cutler. Now, Cutler, in a new program might do something different than what he did in Chicago. Like I said last week, maybe he just didn't like playing in Chicago. Maybe he was tired. He knew the fans weren't happy with him. Maybe he didn't have support out there. Maybe they're supporting him in Miami. He feels, you know, like he's got a better chance because, you know, he didn't look too bad. But, I mean, we'll see what happens game time. None of this matters until game time. None of this matters until week one of NFL, when all the real players are out there, all the real game offenses are out there, all the real plays are being played, all the elite athletes are out there working together. That's when it's really going to matter. That's when people are going to know who's who. That's when the power rankings are going to be accurate right now. Because even though they play their number ones for a short amount of time, that doesn't mean that they're showing you what they're going to do. That doesn't mean that they're giving you where they're at. Nobody is going to do anything in the regular season that they did in the preseason. They are trying all their crazy stuff, all the stuff that they would never really do. They're pulling out their guts. They're doing things that just would never happen in real life. So preseason is fun to watch. It's fun to get those new players out there to kind of see what they're going to do. But other than that, we all know, you guys, that preseason is just a show, just a few games to get you ready for the big time season that's coming up. So you guys know we got two more weeks of this, and then we are back. And look at that.
I am a mountain.
Every time I try to get started, look, they play the music. You guys know what that music means. It went fast today. I can't even believe it, you guys. My time is already up. Well, you guys, I guess I will wrap it up this week for gameplay. I know these podcasts are short, you guys. When the season starts, they'll be longer. It's just preseason, so there's not that much to get into. So during the season, my show will be a lot longer. We'll have much more to talk about, so don't worry, you guys. I just want to thank everyone who tuned in tonight. I really appreciate all of your support. As you know, we're here each and every week on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. I want to do a big shout-out to the boys at the Sports Cave for putting on this show for me, of course, and an even bigger shout-out to all my listeners, because without you, of course, I wouldn't be here. So if you need to reach me, you guys can find me on my Instagram or Twitter at official_Mimi_C. Send me all of your questions and comments, and I'll try to answer them live on air. If you want to see my daily shenanigans, you guys, you can find me on my Snapchat at SissySwave84. That's SissySwaba84. Again, I just want to thank you guys all for tuning in. I am your lovely host, Mimi, and I'll see you guys next week.
Up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it. I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope when my back's up against the ropes. I can feel it. I'm the world's greatest.
In the ring of life, I'll rain love.
I will rain.
I made it. I'm the world's greatest.